This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There are a lot of people who have been sending me screenshots over the first 5 games like, is he on a bender? Because he looks a little haggard when he's sitting there on the bench. And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm fine with how he looks. They're winning all these games now.
Atkinson is
Wednesday won a bunch of regular season games with JP.
He's a road warrior. What are you talking about?
So is Atkinson the difference? Is Atkinson just the difference for this team, or is it too early?
Yeah,
like, when does the honey? It's a negative connotation. Don't take it negatively. When does the honeymoon end? Like, when do we take off the gloves and go, okay, we really got to get in to the nitty gritty with this?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I thought it was really, really nice for Niang to come on with us and talk about how they really were dead set on maintaining some of those defensive fundamentals from before. He wasn't just going to come on and say, Atkinson's great. The last coach was bad. Atkinson! Bickerstaff. Atkinson! You know, he wasn't going to do that. he talked about how, you know, they have their defensive identity. And that was one question I had going into the season. Were they going to relent on some of that defensive stuff because they're going to be so focused on getting out in transition, so focused on threes? And when you do that stuff, the defense does suffer almost in every instance. In this case, it hasn't so far. They have been able to maintain that.
I'm so surprised. Why has it been that way? Like, defense always has to pay a fiddler for when you're going on, when you go so strongly on offense in an NBA game, on an NBA team, I should say. Why is that?
Well, it's just teams lose it's not, look, every NFL coach, right? They want the defense to be fast, but they want them to hit, but they want them to tackle, and they can't come in. A new coach can't come in and just automatically change what their point of view is and then have them keep everything. But that's kind of what's happened so far. It's only 5 games. I get that. And, you know, the Knicks are scrambling around, and you look at their schedule, well, Toronto, and, you know, the Lakers have now lost 2 in a row, and LeBron, you know, wasn't exactly the most active we've ever seen him. But it doesn't matter.
Like, Detroit added some vets. They might be a little bit better than we thought they were going to be.
What I'm saying is the Cavs have not lost their focus. They've been dialed in. They are. You could clearly see there was a clear delineation. The Cavs yesterday were treating that game as a game that mattered, and I think it caught the Lakers off guard. I don't think Anthony Davis was ready for that kind of physicality, for that kind of effort. I mean, Dean Wade in the starting lineup is playing like it's the NBA Finals, and that's not easy for every team to kind of roll into Cleveland on a random, you know, Wednesday night where the talk is about LeBron and his son, and then boom, the Cavs are hitting you in the mouth.
I really thought they would be, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit surprised here. I really thought they would, with Kenny Atkinson, I thought they'd pull back a little bit on the regular season stuff, and maybe they still will. Maybe they're like, hey, we gotta start strong, and then we'll kind of spread it out a little bit, and then we'll speed things up as the postseason approaches. We'll start to kick in February and things like that. Maybe it will be that way. I'm not sure. But I really thought that they would kind of pull back the reins here and be like, all right, Donovan, we're going to use you a little bit less than what we've used you in the past. We want to get Evan Mobley involved here, there, and everywhere, but we don't want to go too crazy with it. You know, the Dean Wade factor in it, I didn't account for that. You're right about that. And you know what? You might be right. Like, Dean Wade, I think, is a better natural player than what Max Strus is. So you might be right about the whole Max Strus scenario where it's like, hey, Now that Dean Wade's there, Max Strus is hurt. When Max Strus comes back, maybe they could use him a little bit better within the offense, and he's not as much of a chucker as he was last year. That's serious. But I got to tell you, I am still really surprised at the effort. And yeah, I know it's their job to provide effort, but we know there's definitely games in the NBA where guys roll the basketball out and that's it, and they're going to have that type of night, and it's quote-unquote scheduled loss. I am surprised at the pace they're playing with and the effort that they've given so far in these basketball games. Maybe it's a proven point for Kenny Atkinson, I'm not sure, but I thought we might be a little bit more slow playing than we were over the last couple of years.
Ken, 134 last night, 136 against Washington, 136 against Toronto. Like, you get far enough along. Like, yeah, small sample size, but it's pretty darn telling. And Yang, I think, gave us a window into that. I mean, he basically said the phone calls that were made right away, Atkinson had a clear, intentional mindset for each player and how differently they needed to play. And I think what's going to get lost, like, people are just going to now say Bickerstaff was terrible at everything. Like, they did go 17-1 last year. And it
seems that some of the calls we have on hold want to do that.
Yeah, Bickerstaff did good things. I had problems with him, as I outlined many times over the last 3 or 4 years, like, things I didn't like. But overall, I think Bickerstaff was a really good coach for a young Cavs team. And now it was time to pass the torch. And I think Atkinson has channeled that stuff that they needed to hear. And it's not just Mobley being more aggressive. And I don't even think Mobley has been as aggressive as I expect him to be by the end of the season. Like, when he's really starting to hit where he needs to be. I think Darius, and obviously being healthy, I think if Bickerstaff were listening to the callers right now, he's very argumentative. I think Bickerstaff would be like, well, I didn't have a healthy Dean Wade. I didn't have Jerome. I didn't have a healthy Darius Garland last year. I didn't have a Mobley in year four who was ready to pounce. And you would hear a lot of excuses probably, but I think Atkinson has figured out a way for these guys to all be able to meet their goals, which is not easy to do. There's only so much ball to go around. And I think you got to give credit to Donovan Mitchell for kind of taking that foot off the accelerator and letting the other guys get in their rhythm, because Donovan knows that come playoff time and down the stretch when he needs to, he knows what he can do. But he needs to have these other guys on the same playing field by the time we get there, if that makes any sense.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense.
It can't just be Donovan leading the way all year.
Yeah,
he knows these other guys have to come up a level.
Well, what will we see that now that he's signed an extension? It's like, all right, you're here. I know it's the NBA and everything's a year-by-year deal, right? But what now if he has the extension? Does it become a more, hey, I can't just throw everything on my back. Like, now we're going to learn during the regular season about what it takes. And honestly, Donovan might be doing that as well. I mean, he's not Shang Tsung out there. Like, he's still a young man, and he still has gone through the wars, and he still at times has been, I have to admit, a disappointment in the postseason in the past. But at times. But we know if he's going to get to where they need to go, he's going to need help. And that help comes and gets learned through last year's experience and the year before, but really through the regular season as well. Because now that you have a new head coach, I do feel that there's a little bit of a different system here. I do. You are feeling things out with your head coach where other teams are feeling it out on the floor. I think it's easier to feel it out with a new head coach than it is for the other teams on the floor. Like, I saw what Carl Anthony Towns did the other night with the Knicks. And it's like, hey, man, like, you're eventually, they're going to be a good team, but they got to get some things figured out. Like, I might end up taking them very seriously here by the time February comes around, but they got to get some things figured out. So, yeah, I would like to sprint out and get that going, because as of right now, you know, I've talked tough before the season started, and I thought, yeah, I don't think the same core four is going to be there. I didn't anticipate they'd not just start 5-0, and I know what their schedule is. I didn't anticipate them playing this well while they went 5-0. And if they continue to do this, I can't make an argument. Because where am I going to find the negatives? Where am I going to find the negatives of the people that I need to trade to make such moves? Now, maybe there's a grandfather deal for a wing that we got, or a godfather deal for a wing that we just don't even know about yet, because it's October, not February. But until then, I'm like, I can't rip on Darius Garland. I know that last night wasn't the greatest night, but it was a wonky game. I can't rip on, obviously, I'm not going to rip on Donovan Mitchell. I certainly can't rip on Jared Allen and his play last night. I mean, this was all good stuff. This was all good stuff. 216-474-0092. Josh Abria, got to go quick, but go ahead.
Yeah, real quick to Lima's point, I think Kenny does deserve a lot of credit, but it is on Donovan. It is on Donovan because he easily could have pressed the red button and be like, I want these guys out of here. But him showing faith and love in Darius, him showing faith and love in Jared Allen, and you're seeing the pace. Like, you're not seeing the Cavs roll the ball up anymore and wait for the big guys to get set because they're afraid of their transitional defense if they miss a long three. Kenny's actually giving these guys, like, hey, if we're going to miss a shot, get down there, big guys, and run and get in position. And you're seeing Evan is like a gazelle out there. He's actually fast. I didn't know he was that fast. He's a freak athlete. This is the guy that we were hoping to see. And I know people say, oh, Darius had a wonky game. He didn't have a wonky game. Yeah, he didn't shoot it well, but he's taking the good shots. He's getting guys set up. He had a double-double, and he's still stealing the ball. That's why he's getting in foul trouble, because you're seeing a more active Darius Garland on defense, letting these guys know, hey, guess what? I'm not the same Darius Garland you knew. I put on some weight. And back to the Knicks game, people keep talking about, oh, yeah, he had a great game. It wasn't just great. He did that against Mikal Bridges, one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. He dropped 15 on his you-know-what in the fourth quarter. Let's go, Cavs, baby!
All right,
we
Josh.
We got Jameis. We got Cavs. Let's go!
It's a very good time right now, I got to tell you. Josh, thank you very much for the call. I had alphabet soup.
I had it. I definitely had it.
I wouldn't say I'm from the trenches. I think we all ate alphabet soup. Did you eat alphabet soup?
No.
You didn't? There's no alphabet soup?
Alphabet cereal. That's as close as I get to that alphabet soup.
Boy, I had cereal for like the first time in like 20 years.
I didn't eat soup until I was in my 30s, Ken.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, yeah. Soup. Yeah, vegetable soup. All soups. Ramen noodles. Which, by the way, I didn't even know that you could just eat them like with like low broth. I thought they had to be sitting in the broth when I was a kid. Then I went to college and I go, how are you eating those again? Oh my goodness, this is a game changer. They were really, really good.
Can I sell you on Italian wedding soup?
No. With
the right meatballs?
Eh. I like it. Like, is minestrone Italian, I imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Then I like minestrone. I'm not really down with
paisanos.
Italian wedding soup. And I said it like McCluskey did in The Godfather. Oh. They have good Italian food here.
We're going to sit here and do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Soups. Here we go, baby. Lima, take it away.
Yeah. Lobster bisque, number one.
Oh, that's a good one.
I do like... Does tortellini count?
Oh, man.
My wife makes
thick.
A tortellini soup.
I guess if it's in a soup, you're good.
He does. It's really good. Now go Italian wedding. I will.
All right.
I'll do it. I won't be afraid. Voice my opinion on it.
Number one, broccoli cheese.
Whoa, that's a good pull.
Number two,
hearty.
I really like minestrone. Number three, it's going to be a surprise to you, egg noodles.
Okay, that's
my mother-in-law makes the Bose. Like, there's these small Bose things. Holy potato salad, it's great.
No, not potato salad. It's soup.
Yeah, holy soup. It's great.
I tell you, after Christmas, we make a ham, potato, and corn chowder with the leftover Christmas ham.
No peas in that one?
No. I don't eat green stuff in there.
That's good stuff.
But lobster bisque, great way to start.
Oh, man. Lobster bisque is a great soup.
Yep.
So Ryan says loaded potato soup, clam chowder.
I didn't realize there's so many great soups.
Oh, my gosh.
Little
clam chowder is a good chowder. If you mess up clam chowder, I think you should probably stop cooking. You can't do that. Lobster bisque is a good soup. Those are good soups.
We could do this all day.
I can do soup talk for a while, man. All right, Jameis talk.
I can talk soup for a while.
Did you? Well done. Mitch, please, coming up at 9:40. Did he prove the boss is wrong? Should he have been starting? And are you mad that he wasn't starting? And I guess I'll ask. I guess I'll ask mad. Yeah. I guess I'll ask.
I wanted them, and I envisioned a scenario earlier that they would have moved on from Watson. I thought the Philly game. I had that penciled in. I'm like, man, I had it circled. I had it all of it. Asterisk. I had it all, Kenny. I thought that was the game that we were going to see a change. And you know what? Then we watched the game, and I'm like, I don't know when the natural time to do it is. And so it didn't shock me that there wasn't a move. But all the numbers, anybody that you didn't even need a heavy-duty analytics person to tell you, because you also had your eyes, but anybody that looked at the numbers was like, this is historically bad. And you can't you can't ever truly protect Deshaun Watson because he's just holding on to the ball too long. So he's going to get sacked. He's going to make too many mistakes. He's going to put you behind the chains too often. And then when they went to Jameis, like, I know he had a chance to have multiple, maybe what, three or four turnover-worthy plays. And so maybe the conversation is different. I still think gave your offense a chance to be finally evaluated.
That, guys, that's not an argument to me. That's you know why the other guy didn't have a lot of interceptions? Because he was afraid to throw the damn ball down the field. That's why there wasn't as many interceptions.
Kenny, one level that he was looking at.
He would throw it. He'd throw it anywhere between behind him and about 5 yards. That was it. Anything else was wonky, or anything else was a broken coverage, or something, some act of God bailed him out. I am so sick and tired of hearing that over these last. And I'll tell you what, I know what I said about the entire stuff about, well, you know, there's not that many people who are still on that bandwagon of the former quarterback who's still technically the quarterback because they owe him so much damn money. But guys, we can't be sitting here picking apart this and saying, well, he almost threw picks. Okay, almost coulda, woulda, and shoulda did not account for that. And they won the game 29-24. You got to take some risks.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's always going to be a feast or famine quarterback. He's always going to be that guy that will never change. You know who else was that guy? Joe Flacco last year. Joe Flacco threw some of the dumbest interceptions I have ever seen in a Browns uniform. And think of the territory that brings in. And I like Joe, and you like Joe, and Browns fans far and wide like Joe. Because he wasn't afraid to throw the ball down the field and give you a chance to win. Jameis wasn't afraid to throw the ball down the field. He's not going to be afraid to do it. And he's going to give you a chance to win if he continues to play this way. He's going to give you a chance to lose. That's true. But he's going to give you a chance to win. I didn't feel we had a chance to win with Deshaun Watson. There's your difference, guys. Forget anything you guys talk about in a bar or what you say picking up the kids from school or what you guys say to each other out on the front porch or at high school football games or anything. It boils down to this. Do you or don't you think that quarterback gives you a chance to win? One, yes. The other one, no. And he didn't do it since the Dallas game, moving all the way down to the game he got hurt.
And Kenny, not only that,
Lord
but
Almighty.
We were in this desperate search for plays, play here, play there, an offense, something. What can we do to model it to get the most out of Deshaun Watson? What can we do to finally generate something? All right, let's take some of these plays. Let's scout some of these plays. Oh, maybe it could be this play. And in reality, there is no offense that works with a guy that can't see down the field, doesn't have the confidence to, doesn't keep the eyes up. And then, oh, by the way, all of a sudden can't run RPOs. So if he can't even run RPOs, then there is no offense that we can actually use to get any kind of benefits out of Watson.
Exactly. And
Kenny, RPOs,
nervous,
that was supposed to be the one thing he could do.
Hey, man, if you got to play him again, like maybe the best thing, I don't know, he had a shoulder injury last year, so I would like to say maybe some time off would be the best thing for him, but I don't know if that's even going to work either. So I wish I could give you guys an army. That's why I cannot. Andy and Jeff make a valid point. A very valid point about the money, but I cannot see anybody getting excited, even faking getting excited over we're starting the 2025 season anew, and Deshaun Watson is back, and he's healthy, and we're ready to start with him. Holy Lord, I can't imagine. I don't think there's going to be any way a Browns fan can fake it, and I don't think they'd be willing to. I think they'd be done with it, and I will talk to you again when you take football seriously again, because we just can't keep marching him out there just to pay it off. It's been 3 years. It's been very few starts. It's been a lot of frustration, and then it was heartache a couple of weeks ago. And Jameis Winston proved it, I think, to myself and everybody that, and I, you know, I've tried to say it was not all Deshaun Watson's fault, and that's why I'm still sitting here wondering what's going to happen this Sunday, because I think a lot of people are ready to just blame Deshaun Watson. I'm still not wanting to do that because, hey, it's going to take an entire team. You couldn't get the plays in before. Was that all on Watson or was that on the coaching staff? I got to find out more. Well, you couldn't get the plays in before and you were frustrated. Was that because you had a different offensive coordinator and we had a problem with communication, with being able to get plays in, with whatever they might have been bickering about, if they were bickering about it? Maybe that's the wrong word, but I don't care anymore. So was there a problem with that? Like, I got to get that figured out. Who was making the decision to play him? Because you said that he gives you the best chance to win, and you told all of us, and then I even decided to do the galaxy brain on saying, well, maybe he, let's hear me out, guys. What if he's not really lying? Do you think about this? That was a dumb segment to do. I'm trying to as well. But the problem is that the new guy went out there, who's technically an old guy, and he threw for 334 and three touchdowns, and they won.
And all your receivers don't look like trash.
He's the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. And your wide receivers don't look bad. And your offensive line didn't look bad. And the fans had fun at the game. And the defense even looked better because you were still able to push the pace down the field. And the defense wasn't out there every three downs, taking up a minute of time, if that, during the game.
And you could always easily flip the field. You were never going to be in a situation where handing them great field position.
Yes.
Because look at the drives.
Yes.
We didn't even talk about, really, recapping that game on Monday, how many sustained drives that Jameis Winston conducted. That's a big deal for playing complimentary football, Ken.
Yes, and he will probably go out there at some point, and I hope it's not Sunday, because then we'll have hell to pay on Monday for this segment with some folks out there, and that's fine. I mean, it is what it is, but maybe it isn't this Sunday. Hopefully it's not, where he goes out there and he has a turd of a football game and he plays terribly and he does turn the ball over like crazy, and they go out there and they lose. Well, then I'm going to find out why. And I guess if I'm going to sit there and blame the former quarterback, I guess I've got to blame the new quarterback. But there is just going to be some things that he does that just work in this system. Getting rid of the ball, being able to look off one read, not freaking out and taking off 1 second into your drop back, being able to turn around and hand the ball off, to be able to complete boot. Did you see what they did with the boot on Sunday and how he was able to stop people in his tracks? And then he stopped people in his tracks and he almost threw an interception right to a guy in the end zone.
Yep.
So, there, again, he doesn't do anything perfect. That's why he's a backup. But when the backup, the journeyman, the veteran, is playing better than the guy he was hyping up, which he is hyping up still, yeah, there's people are going to question that. And I think that I'm preaching to the choir to 95% of the people. The other 5%, I'm sorry, you guys, you can't be helped. Maybe you made arguments. As a person who has said I was wrong over a lot of arguments, I'm telling you guys, it can be quite therapeutic. Try it sometime, because I don't know how you can have a leg to stand on anymore on this. You've tried every single excuse you could. The only valid excuse you could say is, well, it seems that any time the Browns give up on a player, they end up going out there and playing very well. You can try that one. I'll give you that argument. You can go ahead and try. I've been through them all, guys. Every single one of them, with a lot of different quarterbacks for a long time. And there comes a time with every single one, like coaches talk about, you reach your point. You got to reach your point in and say, is he or isn't he? And that's what we have to do with all these guys. And the one guy, he ain't. Bill and Chardon, you're next up on the
Hello,
fan.
Hello, Bill.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning,
hey,
Bill.
I was just curious, you know, you guys haven't talked a whole lot about how Jameis sat for a little bit behind Drew Brees, and he has talked how he's a completely different quarterback after experiencing, you know, what Drew Brees had taught him. I mean, maybe he won't be what he used to be. Maybe we do see a new version of Jameis Winston, and he can turn us into a Cinderella story. What's your guys' thoughts?
I certainly hope so. I'm not going to say you're entirely wrong. And Bill, thank you very much for the call. I'd love him to be that way. I can only go, like, I'm not paying as close of attention to Jameis Winston when he's playing for the New Orleans Saints when he had to come in, as I am, obviously, Cleveland Browns quarterbacks throughout the time. I wasn't paying as close to attention. I was watching all the games that he played with Tampa Bay, but I'm still not paying as close of attention. Maybe that is the case. Maybe he is a little bit better. But when I saw him throw it to Kyle Hamilton, when I saw him, who almost had the interception in the end zone, I'm like, okay, that's classic Jameis. I mean, I watched that in Tampa Bay, and I saw a little bit of that in New Orleans. If I'm not paying attention to every single throw, I'm just going to think classic Jameis. Maybe he does end up that way, but I can only go by what I see. It's that simple. 216-474-0092. Jim in Cleveland. Hello.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Jameis Winston didn't play any better than Deshaun Watson. He just played differently, and that's what we were all looking for, something different. Those three picks, if they were caught by the Ravens, we would have lost that game. What would we be saying now?
Jim, real quick. I don't think we'd be talking wildly different, to be honest. Yeah, you might say, okay, season's over. Who are we selling off and all that? And that could still happen this week. But all of a sudden, we're talking about receivers that not only can catch, they can get open. The quarterback can see them. The offensive line's playing well. Chubb's getting better. Like, we'd still say that, and then, yeah, you get the Jameis experience.
You're trying to make reason here. I can't. Jim, you watched that game and thought that Jameis Winston didn't play any better than Deshaun Watson.
No, because he should have thrown three picks.
But
by the magic of something,
okay,
they didn't catch the ball.
So should I turn around and then go back over all Deshaun Watson's old games and say that this guy should have caught this and that guy should have caught that?
Losses. We should have lost that game. Then it would have been no
different.
But
they didn't lose that game. They were able to conduct an offense. This is the first time they've been able to conduct an offense all season.
They conducted an offense minus three interceptions that should have been caught.
Were they or were they not able to conduct an offense? That's what I'm asking.
It's not a fact
because it didn't go down on paper as that.
There's no stat
for that.
We haven't
Hold on.
It every day.
I want to know from you, because you just said it. You said minus three almost interceptions. Were they or were they not able to conduct an offense for the first time this season?
No, because they threw three interceptions that weren't.
No, nope. You're lying to yourself. Goodbye. You're lying to yourself.
And now maybe you'll disagree with me here, Kenny.
Not to me, to yourself.
I kind of feel like it's not just about wins and losses the rest of the year. I need to evaluate this team, and I couldn't do it with Deshaun Watson.
He's a backup quarterback. That's true, and he's also a backup quarterback. The other quarterback that's playing is a backup quarterback. Guys, you've had two instances now. Okay, one half season or quarter of a season and one game of an instance. And again, I'm the guy saying, hey, I'm not sure it's all the quarterback's fault here. Let's hold on here. I've had two instances almost of the backup playing significantly better. Not coulda, woulda, shoulda, significantly better. I should have left Jim on the hold. That's my fault. I should have left him on hold because I want to ask him, do you or do you not believe he would have put it on Cedric Tillman on both those touchdown passes on Sunday? Do you or do you not believe?
No chance.
Because if he would have said no, he's lying to himself again. He needs to go to a mirror and say it in the mirror and hope the Candyman don't show up. Coming up next, Mitch, please. Do you like that movie?
It's Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Shall we wrap it all together?
Today's Halloween.
Ooh. Spooky, scary, near interception.
Skededins. We were at a restaurant yesterday, and she was so terrified the server had to move the Skededins.
I don't like the scenario where, like, Liz had the charcuterie with, like, the skeleton stuff. I go, I don't like death around the food. Keep it away from me. Ken Carmen, Tone Master General. I like death around the food here. Keep the skeletons away from the hors d'oeuvres. Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we're going back to the Boomer and Geo. This has nothing to do with Jerry Recco, but it does have something to do with the Yankees' loss in the World Series last night to the Dodgers. You know, the Yankee fans are taking it quite well.
Pat in East Islip. What's going on, Pat?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
All right, man. Patty, what's happening?
Not much. I like all this talk over the last all morning has been about how Gerrit Cole didn't cover first base. This entire World Series comes down to Aaron Judge. He didn't hit, and in the game he did hit, he drops a routine fly ball that any little leaguer would have caught. He's a disgrace to the Yankee uniform. And as far as I'm concerned, you can trade him to the Mets.
All right, Pat, that's a little extreme.
Yeah, that doesn't even
warrant a response.
Why would they let him go on that? I mean, I told a guy he was lying to himself in the mirror, but...
You know that that is not some fringe opinion right now. After they watched Aaron Judge swing and miss.
I've seen list of who's your all-time Yankees that you putting together your lineup. Aaron Judge is not on that lineup for a lot of people.
Record this. I'm going to say something nice about – I cannot believe I'm going to say this. That's the difference between Derek Jeter and Aaron Judge. You know I can't stand Derek Jeter, never been able to. Derek Jeter showed up in the postseason. Derek Jeter, the guy who has the C, That guy showed up. Once they have the lifetime contract, like David Price, people used to always rip, and then like and Clayton Kershaw used to rip. When guys aren't signed to their lifetime deal by one of the major markets, you can have that conversation, but it doesn't matter because whoever signs them, they're just going to think they're fixed once, or they can fix them. Once they sign that deal, like Aaron Judge is going to be a Yankee for life. Once they sign that deal, yeah, hell yeah. That's a valid conversation. Where are you in the postseason? I know, it's the same thing. We almost touched the third rail again with our guy. Yeah.
I know. Jose's had rough ruts, obviously, in the postseason. He also is not making $360
million. No, he's not.
Million
and there's,
dollars.
No, there's no captaincy and pinstripes and all that crap.
And here's what I don't understand. Judge is phenomenal. Nobody denies that. Would it kill the guy to make an adjustment? He keeps telling people, no, I'm going to play just like I do in the regular season. Yeah, but you're not getting pitched the same way. You're not getting pitched the same way. Can you shorten your swing? Aren't you? It's October. Like, I don't understand how a guy as good as him cannot tighten that stuff up. Yeah, and like, there's no counterpunch.
That is a team.
He's missing 2 feet away from the ball.
They sign guys to lifetime deals. Basically lifetime deals. Career deals. And once you're signed to there, they specify you're one of our players for a long term. Now you have a chance to be one of the greats, and you need to show up in big moments. And Derek Jeter was able to do. Bernie Williams was underrated in the postseason. Go look at some of the things he did. He was great, and he's one of the guys
Aaron Judge can't be Bernie Williams. He can't even be Jorge Posada.
Jorge Posada's another one. Like
Brocious. Like all those guys had big hits and big moments.
I agree with the caller. You can't just trade him the Mets or anything like that. I agree with the caller. Yeah. He is open for criticism.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.